For a time, we tried to contact him by radio, but no response.
Yes, yes, y'all. Welcome into the late night, Friday night happy hour pod and after dark episode of the Dumb Marks here. Talking everything fallout from WrestleMania and the Raw after Mania, as well as the SmackDown after Mania that transpired this week. Everything here for all the main roster discussion. Gentlemen, how's it going? Everybody good? Donald got the suns out, guns out. Nice. Hey, all you're missing is the do-rag.
I got little Dollar Tree squirt guns right here.
There you go. Jay representing the Iconics. I see. Did you sign the petition going around for everybody that got released to be rehired?
No. I didn't see it.
There was a petition going around on Twitter I saw for signatures for WWE to rehire the individuals that they released on
really here for Billy
yesterday. so that's become I don't want to say it's become an annual thing, but it has been an annual thing the last 2 years after WrestleMania cuts. Last year, obviously, with COVID, they made some changes. This year, wasn't expecting anybody to get cut this year after Mania, obviously. You ink two $2 billion deals in the past year, calling talent and telling them that it's due to budget cuts is the reason why you're releasing them. Not a good look, especially after – reports were today I saw that some of the individuals, they asked about their job security and their safety, and everybody that was released was told that nobody would be cut. So welcome to corporate America. Yeah. They are a publicly traded global corporation is what the WWE is. So that's corporate, baby.
There was a good 5 to 10 years where they didn't cut people, but this isn't uncommon for them to do it. It used to be the same thing after Mania. They always start cutting people, kind of like their refresh to start the year again. And
again, we're going to circle back around to this just like we did last year, but you're the only company that's made cuts during this year plus reign of COVID. It's just tone deaf, not a good look, really. And the reasoning for it being budget cuts just is a complete slap in the face. Yeah. It's almost as much of a slap in the face as, Babatunde Dabakato now being called Colonel Aziz on SmackDown tonight. So let's not, people are smarter than that, Smart marks, we're the dumb marks, but we give the best takes of the smart mark takes. So, all right, Williams, you want to jump in? This is overall thoughts on Mania, 2-night event. Just overall, your grade 1 to 10. Which night did you like better? And then we can just kind of get forward and go from there.
We don't want to start. Just Mania.
Well, if you weren't listening whenever we brought the intro to this show on, main roster only. Jeez. This guy.
I think it'd be any a week.
Fallout. The title for the show is Fallout, WrestleMania Fallout. It's right on the bottom. It's on the scroll.
You get the whole week included. Thanks, Joe.
Did you get some of them RVD rolling papers?
Yeah. You got that $60 CBD brownie he's selling on his website too, right?
I'll go night one and then night two overall, and then I'll give it maybe an 8.
Wow, an 8. Okay.
I like night one better than night two. If I combine them together, I'd probably give night one an 8 by itself. I think night two brought it down a little bit, so I might give overall a 6.
I was going to give an overall score together a 7. Night one was definitely better than night two, but I enjoyed the main event from night two.
Yeah, I mean, the night two main event definitely elevates the score for night two itself. Night one was better overall night start to finish. You know, there were some misses, obviously, both nights. But night one outshined night two. Both main events lived up to the billing.
Yes, they did.
Both fantastic. You know, if you would have got both of those main events on one card, you're talking, you know, a typical like 4-4.5 hour WrestleMania with both of those main events on it, then I'm definitely up in my grade, because you're trimming a lot of the fat that was on both nights.
If they would have just moved the night two main event onto night one, I would have been completely happy with that as a WrestleMania card, night one only. I wouldn't have needed – there's not much from night two that I would have needed other than that.
Night two wasn't bad to me. It's just that I wasn't invested in night one, and I feel like I was like wrestling fatigued.
Oh, that fatigue set in, boy. For me, it hit Tuesday for me. I saw the first two segments on NXT and then crashed and fell asleep. So, but yeah. So obviously, both main events. If I'm giving it an overall, Chris, I'm probably in your range. I'm probably about a 6.5 for both nights between both shows, both nights. You know, it's just, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff where you just throw people to get on the card just to get them on the card because it's Mania. And you saw that, you know, as Mania shows progressed and got longer and longer and longer. You know, Mark Madden and Mike Mancera on their podcast this week, Madden came out and said, hey, listen, going forward, it needs to be one night, 4 to 4.5 hours. If your storyline's not over enough or if you're not over enough, you don't get on the card.
Very simple.
That's how it should be. It's Mania. Just because it's Mania doesn't mean everybody gets on the card.
This is special circumstances the last 2 years.
Because it's night. Agree. But going forward, you got to have the best of the best on the best show of the year. Plain and simple. So I'm in 100% of that. If your story's not over enough or you yourself aren't over enough to be on the card, hey, you don't get that payday, brother, and you got to try to get on the card the following year. That's all there is to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, you know, like the past few Manias have been like 6 hours, and that's not even including – I don't even think that's including the pre-show.
No, it's
they
not. Just
they drag on and on, and I agree. Yeah, it's like – because JR used to say the same thing. It's like Mania is supposed to be the best of the best. It's not everybody gets a payday.
Right.
And – you know, then they add like the Battle Royal matches and all that, which I was glad that they put on SmackDown this year. It was kind of like the kickoff show. But yeah, I agree. It needs to be shorter. And just like you said, if your match isn't over, it doesn't get on the card.
Yeah. No, absolutely. 100%.
To me, the only law on night two was the women's tag. Everything else was solid. It was just.
The women's gauntlet wasn't that good night one.
No.
I mean, Braun and Strowman, or you know, Strowman and Shane, I could have did without.
It was like there was more solid matches on night two. It's just like I was just more invested in the night one.
I could have done without Orton and Fiend. I didn't think that did anything at all.
Like the moment.
It was a moment. Yeah,
that was it.
But it left you hanging.
I didn't think Owens and Zayn was anything special either.
It picked up.
That was a SmackDown match.
I tweeted this out, and I think we were even talking in the group chat. The first two matches on night two completely killed the momentum that you came into the week with. So whoever formatted the show, I think they formatted it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get the part of the cliffhanger for the Bliss and Fiend thing, but it didn't make no sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's Mania. It's the blow off. It's the wrap up. Mm-hmm. You know, the next night on Raw starts the new season, so it's fresh and you're off and running with whoever. But to have it do with it, didn't even go 10 minutes.
No. Didn't even. I'm actually looking at the card now. It's so five.
Both nights I saw on KTOT seats earlier in the week, they put out an article. I forget who it was over there, but they did an actual how much wrestling was on WrestleMania for both nights. Okay. Mm-hmm. So bell to bell, not counting entrances. So literally just bell to bell. There was roughly average about an hour and a half of wrestling on both nights. It was about 40-41%. If you look at Manias in the past, it tends to fall between that, I'd say probably like 41-47% of the card is actually bell-to-bell wrestling. Mm-hmm. So they fell in line with what they did. It's just when you look at it from that perspective, it's like, why are we having a 3.5-hour show if I'm only getting an hour and a half of wrestling?
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't even have the big grand entrances that we normally do.
Definitely more on night two, though.
I don't need the recap. Like, give me the recap on the kickoff show.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, cut all that out. I don't need more. I don't need each story's package being played.
Yeah, no.
Before the match or after one person enters the ring. Yeah. Which they did this year, which kind of killed the flow of the show too.
Yeah, but that's Kevin Dunn producing 101 there. You
know? But I get if they were changing mats and stuff. If they were doing something in between that time, maybe. Like I know Orton, you had to set up the box and all that stuff.
Yeah, box like structure. No, Cole, yeah. It's a fucking box. Fucking box. Box like structure. What elementary school bullshit did you pull that out of? That's not even box. That's not even Common Core math bad. That's just it's a fucking box, Cole.
Yeah, the box like structure. Yeah, they wouldn't even call it Jack in the Box.
Yeah, and then Chris, it's funny that you bring up Dunn. You know, with his production, Lance Storm tweeted out, "Legit had the was loving the match, but I get dizzy headaches from all the camera cuts and shaking.
Yeah.
I can't watch it.
I agree." They need to stop that.
If that's not the most spot on tweet about their production issues, it's every single match.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's a, you know, if you have epilepsy, you're going to go into shock. Like it's bad.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't make you get into that spot. It takes away from it. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever you're constantly bouncing the camera and the shots back and forth,
It adds nothing to the match. But they're doing it a little too much.
The constant cutaways and everything else adds nothing to the matches at all.
They did it with Cesaro swinging, getting in and out for a bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just like, enough's enough. Like, you know, that's motion sickness for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but no, like I said, overall, the two main events on both nights were the two matches that I was looking forward to the most, were the two matches that I was the most invested in. You know, I shouted for 6 months, give me Sasha and Bianca if they weren't doing Sasha and Bayley, as I said before. They gave me it. Them two lived up, build it. We talked about it last week on the pod on night one recap on Sunday show. Representation was key, and Bianca hit that nail on the head again tonight. In her promo during the victory celebration that they gave her on SmackDown, which was a nice touch. True babyface promo tonight from her. There was no doubt about it with that regard. And she addressed the not being cocky but being confident in your abilities in her promo. So I thought that was a nice touch in the promo that she gave tonight. But before we dive too much into SmackDown, just went off the air. Let's backtrack here for the Raw after Mania.
It was not a traditional Raw after Mania.
It was a good Raw show, but it was just
fart in church.
You were expecting more.
Yeah,
it was a complete fart in church.
You got Viking Raiders, and you got Charlotte.
And Charlotte's not even a return.
I don't even count Charlotte as a return.
Yeah, it's not a return.
So you had
regular Raw, I'd be okay with it.
From both shows, you had one act return, and that was the Viking Raiders. That was it. No NXT call-ups, nothing. Just Viking Raiders.
And you saw the Viking Raiders coming back because what Roe? I still call him Roe. He was in the Battle Royal on last Friday. So whenever I saw him for the first time in a long time, I was like, look like they'll be coming back soon. And Monday they came back.
Sadly, after they came back and they with the cuts on Thursday, I started thinking, I was like, oh, so is that Viking Raiders test? You know, can they hold up or are they going to get cut today? Like, I kept looking for them on the list. But
so it's bad when cut day has garners more attention and more news than your Raw after Mania. And it did. It was a complete fart in church. Like I said, it was a letdown. I watched all 3 hours of Raw for the first time, and I can't tell you how long. And I regretted watching all 3 hours of Raw. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to start from Raw?
What did everybody like from Raw? What was your takeaway that you liked about the show?
All right, there we go. So that's it.
All right.
So yesterday,
unfortunately,
I can't take it all, man. It's Monday.
Uh-huh. Bobby Lashley's suit was the best thing on Raw. It looked like he just got done watching the Isley Brothers and Earth, Wind, and Fire versus from the week before. Z had on that peach cream church suit, boy.
Mama made him look fresh.
So let's just start there. Lashley comes in. Riddle interrupts, whatever, sets up the match to open the show, right? Reports were that Riddle, that I saw this week, Riddle wasn't even supposed to have United States Championship. It was supposed to be Keith Lee, but then Keith Lee has all his issues going on, whatever they are. At some point in time, Keith has said he'll come out and let everybody know the story and what's gone on with him over the past couple months. So Sheamus winning the belt at Mania was to correct that and reset Riddle for where they want to take him to go moving forward. Riddle can sell. He can bump his ass off. And he bumped around for Lashley on Monday night. And that
I don't need him in main event matches, though.
No.
Him in US was, like, even if he wasn't supposed to be champion, that's where he should be.
Yeah.
It was a good one-off for him.
Hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had it set up for a good triple threat, but then the outcome... that just let me down altogether.
What triple threat? At the main event?
Yeah.
We can jump into the main event if you want.
I mean, it was the women's, and then that came. Them calling out their shots, I do believe.
No, they didn't call their shots out till like close to 10 o'clock.
Really?
Yeah. They didn't have them three come down to almost 10 o'clock to set up the main event. It was definitely in the second hour. Rhea Ripley, whoever made her read off a teleprompter for that promo backstage, needs to be fired. She's not the best promo in the world, but you can't have her just back there reading off of cards.
Her stuff on NXT was much better than that.
It felt so disconnected because you could tell she was reading it, and that's never good. Whenever I'm sitting at home watching the show, and I can tell, a performer is reading something verbatim, word for word, off of a screen, just not good at all. So then let's jump into Charlotte's promo. Everybody in the world was praising Charlotte's promo on Monday. Oh, look at the shoot, brother. I saw Charlotte's face imposed on CM Punk's body more times than I saw. Oh, it's the women's pipe bomb, buddy. I'm like, no. Did you listen to Paige's promo she cut? That was the women's pipe bomb.
Yeah.
It was decent. I just hated that it came off whiny in her tone, where it's like it wasn't my fault and all that stuff. It just came off whiny. That part.
Here's the thing with WWE going back and making thinking that their audience isn't smart enough to understand what's going on. the reasons that she gave in her promo for certain things weren't true. It wasn't true. So you weren't left off the card because they left you off the card. You were left off the card because you tested positive for COVID after a potential false pregnancy test. So why not just come out and say that you were left off the card? You can still cut the heel promo. You know, you can still cut the heel promo. I also didn't like the fact that she brought up, well, I challenged Asuka, and I have crickets. I heard nothing from Asuka. But Rhea Ripley comes out and challenges, and Asuka just automatically accepts because she doesn't want to face me. No, you challenged Asuka on a show that she wasn't even at because Shayna Baszler kicked her two front teeth out the week before. Mm-hmm. And then you were off TV after that. And haven't seen you. This is the first time we see you back since. So it's like, I thought it was one of her better promos, but a lot of the material in the promo just didn't add up for me because of stuff that it's like, no, we know why mm-hmm. Asuka didn't say yes to that. She was never on the show. Mm-hmm. She was out. We know why you were left off the card. Because you tested positive for COVID. So it's like those types of things. It's like, if you're going to blur the line and go, you know, I am the opportunity, like, that's a good line. That's true. That was the shoot, if you want to go wrestling term-wise. But, like, have the rest of the promo filled with that. Just my opinion.
It was an okay promo. I didn't hate it, but I felt it went on way too long. Like, I felt like she could have came out and just called out the whole Asuka situation and left everything else behind. You know, it didn't need to go into more than that.
And then I also didn't like, so she comes out, she cuts the promo. Asuka immediately comes out for the match. But yet they don't cross each other at all. Like, it's like, all right, Charlotte's just going to run you down. Mm-hmm. And yet no interaction at all. And then Rhea comes out, they have the match, and it's like, all right, well, we know what's going to happen here. We know mm-hmm. Charlotte's going to come back and get involved. It's like, it's too predictable. Like, we get it. So, yeah, you'll get the triple threat at WrestleMania Backlash, and Charlotte will probably win it for the 14th time. It's ridiculous that she's already a 14-time champ. She's been on the main roster a couple years. Like, come on. Mm-hmm.
That is counting her tag title in there, too, and the NXT stuff. But, yeah, it's just – it's a lot.
Isn't she 11?
In a matter of a few years.
Is she 11 major? Or is it 12?
Probably. Yeah, it would probably be 11.
Gosh, man.
Yeah, it's still
– That's like, what, 5 years since she's been up on the main roster? Whew. That's a lot.
Well, Bliss has what, 7?
But she hasn't been in the title picture for a long time.
For a bit, yeah.
Yeah.
And still have 7, though.
But like Charlotte was on Stone Cold's USA show a few weeks back. And she even covered with him. You know, she started talking about stuff like he said he is. Do you see this being, you know, do you plan on lasting as long as your father and all that? And she said, no. She goes, I want to have a family. She kind of pulled like the Ronda Rousey, like why Ronda left right after 35. She goes, I want to have a family. She goes, and I'm on borrowed time for that. Mm-hmm. She goes, so I have to get everything in now that I can get in so I can have what I want afterwards. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, she's saying right there, kind of being honest, you know, I don't know how much time I have left in the WWE, so I'm trying to get what I can get in. And it should be interesting to see how long she's around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's that. The cliffhanger that fell completely flat at the beginning of night 2, which took all the air out of the crowd and pretty much sucked the air out of the show for night 2. What the hell was that Monday night? So Alexa Bliss.
You didn't like it? Her part?
I liked her part, but I have no faith in them to do it correctly moving forward. So I like the fact, okay, she thought she needed the Fiend and the darkness to to help bring her out, but she realized she can do it herself, and she embraced the darkness and isn't afraid of the darkness and all that. And Lily, I guess, is going to be her version of the fiend when she transforms, if that's even the case. There were a lot of people I saw on Monday based off of Sunday's cliffhanger was that Alexa is going to channel Aleister Black back.
Okay.
Which, from what I read this week, Aleister Black has been back doing vignettes, but it's for stuff that's based on his childhood. So take that as you will. So yeah, I have no faith in them to do it correctly moving forward. None at all. And then Bray's response to his, in his funhouse, made no sense at all. It was just, you know, like Abby said, fuck her. And they put it out.
I was just confused on where he's going with it.
It's gonna be a typical Bray Wyatt thing. You just slammed the gimmick in the ground and got to start again.
It reminded me a lot of like a spinoff. Like, okay, Alexa's gonna do her thing, I'm gonna do my thing, and that's it.
Yeah, that's fine if you're gonna separate it out. That's fine.
But it doesn't work. It's not gonna work together separate. Yeah. No,
it's not. They were great together, and you ruined it based off of the trash writing.
Mm-hmm. And it just made it seem like he was going to the light. Like the.
Don't say that.
What's next for him? We're going to get Firefly Funhouses where he has the Fiend on one shoulder and whoever else on the other shoulder. We have good versus evil type of deal. Like
talking like good love.
We're going to see Reverend Devo on back.
Possibly. That's why
I'm all for them. I'm all for Reverend Devo returning.
Reverend Bray.
To me, they have completely killed off Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, they do.
They've buried
him. I think he can fall into any role.
But he's so talented, and he gets everything over because of how talented he is, which is a testament to him. But to me, he needs to go somewhere else. He needs to leave WWE altogether. I don't know. I don't care where he winds up. Doesn't matter. But he has no credibility, because everything that he does that he gets that everybody likes, they immediately chop his legs out from underneath him and bury him with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you can only reinvent yourself so many times. But at the end of the day, we know that you're going to get buried.
Mm-hmm. Look how many times The Undertaker, you know, reinvented himself over the years, too. I mean, it's longevity.
Taker was never buried. Was never buried. He's been buried so many times.
I think he's been buried.
Yeah. There's a few times he was actually buried.
Not literally buried alive. And for how good Bray is, he's 0-4 in WrestleManias.
And speaking of WrestleMania with it, what the shit was that with him walking through the COVID test or whatever the hell that thing was and just magically becoming okay again?
Hey, he had to get rid of the Jason Voorhees suit somehow.
why couldn't he do that ahead of time? Like, why didn't he just come back regular? Like, his burn wounds healed. No, he had to go through the whatever the portal was. And
he took Randy Orton's ointment, you know, for his burns to heal up.
Oh, did he go back in time to last year and take some Cena's drugs?
Hey.
Is that what time that was? Travel. Time travel portal?
Time travel, stop it.
I just don't see where they go with him from here, because it's done. Like,
there's makes nothing, no sense.
Yeah,
I'm sure they don't know.
It's done.
It makes no sense.
And that's the problem. They don't know. Like, you.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry. About a month, y'all be loving the gimmick. Whatever it is.
If I do, it's because of Bray. Like,
where you go? Have faith.
No. I have faith in Bray. I don't have faith in them. So why am I going to get excited again for them just to bury him again?
I mean, The Fiend for 3 years or 2 years, you think it's run its course?
It was fine on SmackDown.
It was they ruined it. As soon as they
ruined it. But hey, you don't think you'd have kept it going for another couple years as The Fiend?
I think you could. I think that character and that version of him could have come and gone whenever he needed it, if they did it properly.
So it's still there. But, I mean, stuff like that runs its course.
I don't buy into it at all no more.
Oh, if it popped back up, you'll be in.
You got burned alive to come back to lose to an RKO because Alexa Bliss sat up and had ink pens run all over her face.
Let it play out, man.
I have no faith in that at all. Not at all.
When he took how many curb stomps and all that kind of stuff against Seth Rollins and the Hell in the Cell.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm over that.
When he no-sold the table.
You never come back whole.
He no-sold the table 2 minutes into the match. Then you get hit with RKO and you're done automatically. Hey. So stupid.
RKO.
The most lethal move in professional wrestling.
There you go.
Should we go to the end of Raw and discuss that?
So the three-person call-out there, Jay, that you said you liked, them three setting up the triple threat. Again, it made no sense. It's like Randy Orton just comes out and just by himself says, "Oh yeah, I'm done with The Fiend. I'm moving on." And it's like, well,
that's Randy. He can do that. He can do that. But you know, I would have rather took either of them over Drew McIntyre. I'm over Drew.
Why is he getting? Why is he getting the Roman Reigns treatment?
This is Vince's guy.
Yeah,
I told
still,
you.
So. I bet he still want to see him go over in front of fans.
Vince wants that baby face, you know, that he can shove down your throats all the time.
I'd rather go back to heel now.
I didn't want to see those three be the three to challenge Lashley next, and those were the three that I got. And I definitely, out of those three, I didn't want to see Drew win, and Drew was the one that won. That's going to challenge Orton or going to challenge Lashley next. So it's like
again,
So now we. WWE Backlash is what, May 9th? 16th, Mother's Day, right? Or 16th?
16th, yeah.
Oh, God.
So we're 5 weeks out, right? For whatever, however many weeks out. And it's like, what the hell are you going to do to build up to this match? Oh, I know. We'll get T-Bar and Mace to come in. So not only did you get rid of Shelton and Cedric, but now you hire T-Bar and Mace to come in.
I wouldn't mind.
And by the way, Shelton and Cedric did the job to the Viking Raiders earlier on.
Yeah. So they're done.
So they're done.
Yeah, they're officially done. Officially.
Right. Whatchamacallit, who wrestled later? There was another tag team match, and I forget who was in it.
Look at them building up the tag team division.
Whoever was in the other tag team match, why can't I remember who it was? But the two that were in there that lost, they were the ones that should have faced the Viking Raiders in the comeback. You don't feed Shelton and Cedric to them to have Shelton and Cedric put them over. Because now Shelton and Cedric are done.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought after that match, I was like, all right, they got to get back together with Lashley now.
Elias and Riker.
Yeah. Give Elias and Riker to the Viking Raiders.
Yeah.
They do
Riker the budget cuts.
If they would have put the Hurt Business back together, you know, as it is, you know, regular crew, that loss wouldn't have hurt them. But now that you don't do that, and you replace them with freaking Retribution, is just
if they would have took the mask off.
If they would have took the mask off, I might have been okay. I might have said, "Oh, okay, I'll pay attention and see where you go with it." But to have them stand there just heavy breathing with the mask on.
Mask off.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Made no sense whatsoever.
You need bigger muscle, man.
And there's no chemistry with that crew yet. So it's like you're really throwing it together for no reason.
Hired muscle. You got to get Dijakovic over somehow.
Yeah, as Dijakovic. Yeah. Not T-Bar.
Don't worry, he'll be fighting Keith Lee soon. Only faith I have in him.
So I was completely let down by the Mania after Raw. I wasn't expecting huge, like I wasn't expecting big, you know, returning names or anything like that. But I thought because you had the potential to bring up some NXT people to freshen up Raw and make for some interesting stuff here. And the biggest shakeup you did was on the commentary team.
For both brands.
You had Graves, Saxton, and Adnan Virk on commentary on Monday night. What'd you guys think of Adnan on Monday night?
Got to get used to him.
Yeah.
Like I told you guys, he sounded like he's imitating the announcer.
I wasn't sold on him, but I mean, it's his first night. I'll give him a break.
I'll give him some time. I was tweeting along and people were absolutely burying him. And I'm like, the thing is, I notice this more and more as we do this show and everything else. And you know how Pat McAfee on NXT, we'll get to him later, but on NXT, how he would run down the internet wrestling community it's wrestling all the time. They don't know nothing else. And people were blasting Adnan Virk, and it's like, you guys have no idea who this dude is, because you're just so in the wrestling bubble. It's like the dude has credentials. Like,
it feels like he was like straight play by play,
which is fine. Mm-hmm. Give me straight play by play. If you're gonna let if you're gonna let Graves and Saxton, and we'll see. To me, this is gonna be a test to Saxton to see if he can step his game up because. Mm-hmm. He's been in a role for too long to be that irrelevant, and I say irrelevant because sometimes you forget he's even on the show until he says something. This is going to be a test to him to step his game up. If you're going to let Adnan just do straight play-by-play, that's fine. One, he got to dust up on the terminology and know some more wrestling moves because it was evident, you know, besides some of the basic stuff, he didn't know what to call certain things. Mm-hmm. And two, he just got to work better on his wording and not fall into the same phrase over and over again and change how his inflection goes throughout certain points of the matches. I think he'll work all that out over time, and I think he'll be fine. But, you know, he did SportsCenter. He works for the MLB Network. He had his own podcast. He's done a bunch of stuff. Like, the man is talented. So – let him time to find his groove, find his rhythm, and work out the kinks to exactly what they want from him on the microphone.
If there's one benefit that I'll give for him, he didn't sound like cookie cutter Cole.
Yeah.
That's one benefit I'll give.
It was refreshing to hear something different on Monday night that wasn't PC produced up through main roster training of head announcers. You know, whether it's Vic Joseph, Tom Phillips, it's all the same. It's all the same voice, just different accents to me at this point. So it was refreshing to hear somebody new that doesn't have all that WWE seasoning on them. It just came off refreshing. I think he'll find his groove, and I think he'll do well. Now, will it last for a long time? Who knows? There hasn't been anything that I saw in regards to like contract length or anything else, but you know, let him work out the kinks and figure out exactly what they want from him on the mic week to week, and I think he'll get better as he goes on.
Yeah. And Corey will help him too, for sure. He'll help him, and like they just have to find their chemistry together.
That's it.
Like, it's like King and JR started out, you know, the same way too. They just had to find their groove together.
Yeah. That's it. Chemistry doesn't happen first day. You know, it takes time.
Right. Right. Well, since we're on commentary teams, and let's go over to the biggest news of the WrestleMania fallout, which broke earlier this morning as I tuned in live to the Pat McAfee show. the rookie of the year, the greatest to do it, has signed a commentary gig, was hired on air by Vince McMahon himself. So if you go on the video, they actually ended the announcement video. McAfee's been running this gig on his show that he's been up to something. He's been hyping this thing up for weeks. I'm up to something. He's done a bunch of different videos, sent stuff out there, getting buzz like a true professional that he is to get people, his name in people's mouths, right? And he threw out a contest. $7,500 goes to the winner to see who could predict what he was up to correctly. Great promotion, right? Get people talking. Everything else. Well, this morning they made the announcement. He's hired on as commentator for SmackDown for the Blue Brand on Friday nights. And the little video that they ran at the end of it, it's Vince McMahon, Cole, and Pierce sitting in Gorilla. And Vince McMahon actually cuts Pat McAfee, "You're hired." And I just thought it was like, okay, Vince is really on this dude because he's not going to get on and do a video for anybody.
Yeah.
Like to have Vince at his stage, at his age and everything else, like he's not just going to come out and do that for anybody. So he must really like what McAfee can do. And Donald, I think it might have been you back whenever he came on NXT and started cutting his promos that was like, wait till Vince hears him. He'll be up on the main roster.
Yeah. I mean, sad to see him not going to be NXT champion no time soon, but
he was really good tonight. I mean, he's a natural. He got a natural gift to gab.
Mm-hmm. You that's know, the problem. Yeah. That's the problem too.
What did he gab?
He was overstepping Cole.
Oh, that's good.
Some stuff, but
no, yeah, but that's fine.
I did the same with him that I said for Fredman. You know, it's just it's not going to happen night one. I'll give him time. He wasn't. It wasn't all smooth sailing tonight. I'll say that. It's the same thing. It's just gonna. It'll take time, and they'll get there.
But straight out the box, I think they have more chemistry straight out the box than the three on Raw. But in the three on Raw's defense, that's a 3-man booth versus a 2-man booth. 2-man booth always works better in pro wrestling.
And the thing that Pat has over NN is that he's done this role already. He did it down the NXT a few times, so he has a little experience.
He was a guest commentator whenever the Saudi Arabia travel issues happened. He called in and did SmackDown that night before Survivor Series. I like Cole sounded different tonight, not throughout the entire show, but he sounded different with Pat next to him. And Pat had Cole on his show earlier today. They interviewed and the excitement that Cole had in his voice. He's been trying to get Pat to join commentary for a while. He was the one that called Pat to bring him in to do the first pre-show when Pat first started off doing pre-shows. Cole's been a fan of his for a long time and brought him in. And to hear the excitement that Cole had during the interview, I was like, okay, maybe I'll get a different Michael Cole. And I heard that at times throughout the night tonight. It wasn't the entire show. You still had Cole being Cole. But hopefully this will rejuvenate Cole and make it sound a little bit less I don't want to say monotone because it's not monotone, but you know, less just so corporate shill ad reading, you know, that we've heard from Cole for the past couple years.
You talked about Rhea reading the promo, you know, off the prompter backstage. And we talked about on here before. Cole just reads his script. He doesn't pay attention. He reads his script. And that's the way it comes off whenever you listen to him.
I did like seeing Pat, like, jump up out of his seat and do commentary standing up in that. Like, the fan in him was coming out as he was doing the show tonight. I know that shit ain't going to fly when fans are back in the stands. They're just going to get on that headset and say, hey, sit your ass down. But it just, again, it was just something, and it was a natural reaction. Like, it wasn't like, okay, he was told to stand up during this shot. Like, something happened. I think it was like after Montez hit his frog splash or whatever, and he like stood up and was commentating standing up, and it was just like, okay, it's a little different touch, which is adding a little different feel to the broadcast itself.
I think that's just his natural energy. You know, I don't think he's a person that can sit still all the time. You know, he needs to be moving sometimes and talking and moving, doing whatever. And it is a nice change to the booth.
So there was some absences on Raw, which this will lead into SmackDown as well. So like, you don't have Almos and AJ on, who just won your tag team belts. No Edge tonight. No Daniel Bryan tonight. What'd you guys think of SmackDown for those of you that watched it and weren't sleeping through it?
You know what you did have throughout SmackDown though?
Don't even
10 different video packages of Cesaro doing the UFO. You want to talk about killing something.
they took what was a great moment. Like it was a cool spot. Like I was like, oh shit, I've never seen that before. Like, great. And they just completely made it to where I never want to hear the words UFO or see Cesaro doing a UFO again. In one show, they've buried them. They just punched it and punched it and punched it and punched it. I saw somebody on Twitter, I forget who it was, but they tweeted out, and forgot your name here, but they tweeted out, oh, they're constantly showing the UFO, so people hate Cesaro, so whenever he loses, we can't say that they buried his
push. I was thinking the same thing. Because it's like the first two times, it's like, cool. It's like, I'm glad they're showing this. Like, that's great. And he comes out. And then the next segment, they do it again. And then like 2 seconds later, no mention of Cesaro, let's show you the UFO again. It's like, what are you doing this for? Like, there's no reason to show it that many times. And it kept coming and coming and coming. Like, if they would have showed it at the beginning, and maybe right after his segment, and then they would have showed like maybe one more time before his match, maybe I could have understood that. You know, like, that would have just been a couple times. But they showed it like at the most like insane moments of the show that just made no sense. Like, it had nothing to do with the segment that they were like promoting next or promoting right before that. It just.
I don't know. It's giving you what you want, man. More Cesaro.
No, it wasn't giving me what I want.
You want to see more Cesaro.
I don't need more Cesaro. I just need to see him.
You want it, but not how you want it, though.
Anybody, if you would have put that with anybody, like if you would have put one of the moments from the Roman Reigns match throughout the night, I would have been bored with that, too. It doesn't matter who you do that with. It made no sense how many times they showed it.
I'd watch that double submission over and over again.
Hey, that would have been an interesting way if they would have ended the main event
with that
with him tapping. It's like, who's the champion?
Mm-hmm.
People would have buried it, but still, I thought that would have been. I was watching it. I'm like, oh, if he taps right now, like.
One thing I was expecting to see tonight, and they didn't do it. Was on Twitter, some people were talking about the double pin, and you know Adam Pearce kind of broke out and said, you know, I forget who the ref was in the match. I don't know if that was Charles Robinson or, you know, Charles Robinson said, I'm the ref. I saw four shoulders on the mat. I counted all four down. All four shoulders that were down.
Yeah, they were all four were down.
Yeah. And he goes, my decision stands. And then Adam Pearce came in. He goes, Charles, see me in my office on Friday. So I really expected something to kind of follow up to that double pin. They didn't do it. And I'm okay that they didn't. Like, that's what I was kind of expecting going into SmackDown tonight.
So I like the opening promo. I like Cesaro coming out. I said last week that, you know, Cesaro's win, this should be the launching point to him getting a push. We'll see if that's where we're going here. I'm good with what they did. I liked him coming out, standing face to face, and then going to get the microphone and Roman and everybody leaving the ring. Like, yo, you're not even worth my time. Like, you're not on my level. That was perfect. Like, that fits Roman's character to a T. Like, yo, son, no,
You don't have to have us all talk.
Yeah, like no, I'm not even gonna listen to what you gotta say. That's how much you're below me. I loved it. Could have did without the Otis and Gable versus Mysterio and Dom, whatever they ran after that.
Yeah. Mysterio don't need a singles match anymore at all.
Neither does Otis.
Unless
why were they part of the budget cuts?
Yeah. Otis is growing on me.
Otis and Dominic could have been.
Nah. Otis, him and Alpha, like when him and Chad tag together, I enjoy it.
So yeah, I'm overseeing those four working together in some form or fashion, like they've been doing. The Street Profits and Dirty Dogs, I can't believe that's what they call themselves.
Yeah, that's still weird.
Ziggler is still in Lance Archer's freaking long braided ponytail weave that he had in his hair tonight. It looked horrible. They almost had me. They had me with the Dawkins pop up power bomb into the frog splash. I'm like, okay, we're getting new champs here. Bianca before the match was like, hey, we need more gold in this house. Okay, I got it. You know, wifey got the head belt, and you got the tag team chance, and they had me with that false finish. I will say that.
Not yet.
Ziggler and Rude, you know, I think that's only the second time they defended the title in 4 months. So it's like, what are you doing with tag teams? Like, but whatever. So I thought Sasha was good, not saying a word.
Yeah.
Showing the marking from the hair whip, nice touch, and you know, like that. Bayley cut a decent promo tonight. Don't know if I want to see Bayley step up and challenge Bianca right away. But I don't know who else you would have her face if you're not going to run the rematch back right away.
Do we see a triple threat? That's kind of what I got out of it.
Too early for that.
I think there's too many triple threats going on already.
Yeah. WrestleMania Backlash is just going to be triple threats. It's going to be triple threats. Every match is a triple threat. That's going to be the new stipulation. But yeah, I don't know who else you would put against Bianca, but there's not that many natural heels on the roster for her to work right now. So I get Bayley.
Probably Carmella.
Cedar.
I get Bayley stepping up. Sasha, like I said, I like what they did with Sasha. And then the main event, you know, the match was great. Cesaro, like I said, he can work well with anybody. Main event Jay stepping up to the plate again.
They got to stop jobbing out main event Jay.
He's a right-hand man.
They
need to stop jobbing out Shayna Baszler. Is who they need to stop jobbing out. She lost again tonight to Natalya. I can't tell you the last time she picked up a win that wasn't in a tag team match. Every singles match that she's had.
It's time for the flash solo.
She needs to be that.
Reginald's sick, so
it seems like they're gonna run this match back. I guess at Backlash or at some point before. So
yeah, that's
they're gonna take the titles off of them.
That's why it's called WrestleMania Backlash. You
know? But they should have taken the titles off of Mania, and
yeah, they should have.
Natty and Tamina drop it right back. Like give Natty a 1,000 people chanting Tamina's name. Yeah. When has that ever happened?
Yeah.
Or when will that ever happen again?
Yeah, they should have put it on them on Sunday.
Yeah, put it on them on Sunday and let them drop it back at the next pay-per-view. I'm fine with that. You give them their moment, that's good. Move on.
Yeah.
But she needs to stop losing. There's like her credibility is shot.
Yeah.
And I like to rebuild her as a singles wrestler now.
I like Rollins interfering. I know people hate the finish because he interfered and it, you know, you didn't get a legitimate winner, but slow, you know, don't automatically have Cesaro and Roman at Backlash. Like, let Cesaro and Seth go through it again. You know what I mean? Like, have Cesaro build up to that, because if you do it right, you could have, and I said it last week, you could have that Kofi Mania type reaction to Cesaro because of how long he's been with the company. The way his in-ring work is, you know, tenure, the whole nine yards. Everybody is behind him at this point, like they were at Kofi going into that Mania push. So you can have that same organic magic with Cesaro that you had with Kofi, and do it if you do it right.
In the back of my mind, I wanted Shinsuke to come out too, get in the mix. Just because he still got a story with both of them, Jay and Rollins.
I'd be okay with a Shinsuke Jay feud. That could be a good match. The one thing I didn't like on SmackDown tonight was right after the opening segment, Cesaro goes in the back to tell Adam Pearce that he wants a match against Roman Reigns tonight, and I don't understand where Sonya comes in that she's calling the shots.
I like that. I was gonna bring it up. I like that. I like
her.
He's the
boss, but you know,
I like her overstepping.
It seems like they're gonna be building something in that, because that's not the first time she's done something like that. But
Sonya is the plant for Roman and Paul that works with Pierce. Is what I took away from that segment tonight. Yeah.
Okay.
Sonya's part of.
I mean, she already
goes back to Paul. Paul's like flirting with Sonya months and months ago.
Long term storytelling.
Yeah. Look at you picking up on hints.
Hey, no, that's just me being more creative than creative. That's not what they're doing at all. But that's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah, it was just like because Adam Pearce just like kind of like let it go. It's like what boss actually just lets someone just do that to them? Like,
yeah, no, I'm cool with that. So after both shows, I have some inkling on where they're going to Backlash, but to me, I don't think I'm gonna like where they're going to Backlash. You already saw on both shows rematches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you had rematches after WrestleMania, but yet you have a WrestleMania Backlash, which is going to be more rematches from the rematches to WrestleMania that you already had. And it's just like, it's a pointless pay-per-view again. Like, it's not going to matter.
Same with the name. It's pointless.
So you got Drew. You're going to have Drew and Lashley. It's in some form or fashion, I would guess. You'll get Seth and Cesaro again. I don't think Roman will defend the belt at all at Backlash, honestly.
Unless Edge or Bryan come back.
What happened with Zayn and Owens? Because I fell asleep so many times on that match.
Owens won it. Owens won.
Okay. That should be done.
It should be. You know,
but they continued that on.
That was another rematch. So it's like, yeah, I don't, you know. We'll see where they go from there. I guess obviously, and we said it, I think it was Chris earlier in the broadcast tonight, but the biggest fallout from WrestleMania was the cuts.
Yeah.
So you had, I think, 10 wrestlers total that got released yesterday. It's been talked about all over, but you had Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, Mickey James, Wesley Blake, Tucker, Samoa Joe, Mojo Rawley, Kalisto. Am I leaving anybody off?
That might have been it.
I think it was 10 total. But
it was 10 total, and forgive me for not remembering the other two names.
Bo
Dallas.
Chelsea Green.
Yeah. There you go. So –
But then again, only surprising ones were Iconics and Joe to me.
Yeah.
Because Joe was good on commentary. But, mm-hmm. I mean, if the guy want to wrestle, I'm sure he does, let him go because he's not wrestling.
I was a little surprised at Mickey just after them using her last week for NXT. Mm-hmm. I thought they were trying something out.
Well, not only that, and then she was on the post-covers Mania show. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she did stuff. You know, everybody is just automatically pigeonholing people to go to certain companies and everything else. You know, that's all well and done. You know, to do it as soon as they're cut, it's like, all right, like they just lost their job, which I'm sure, you know, a lot of them, that was their dream job, because WWE still is the king of the mountain, and getting to WWE is like reaching, you know, the top of any profession that you're in. So, but with that being said, who would you like to see go where?
They already saying Peyton's going to meet up with her husband down to AEW. That's where everybody's slotting her at.
And they're sending Chelsea Green to Impact.
Mm-hmm. And then Mickey to NWA. Yeah.
So just follow your spouse.
Yeah. I mean, it could happen. It might not, but it could happen that way.
Mickey in NWA makes sense, and not because of her being married to Nick, but kind of what they have brewing right now with the NWA, and like kind of potential dissension between Nick and Tom and Camille. Like, it's a built-in story that could progress to Mickey coming in and taking Camille out of Nick's group. Like, it would write itself. I think Mickey would do good in the end. Mickey's going to do good anywhere she goes. She's a Hall of Famer. She's one of the best to do it. So
she's been to TNA. I don't think she needs to go back there. To me, it's either AEW or NWA. And I think NWA needs the most work on their women's division. They got women, but I think they could use that. They could use her to help that division out. In NWA.
Ring of Honor is starting up a women's division, and you know, wouldn't mind seeing her go there either. I think AEW, she would make the most sense from not only would she benefit the roster on screen, but also backstage and off screen. Again, just adding those veterans. But I don't want the knock of, oh, it's WWE light because you're bringing in all the WWE talent. So, yeah.
But then if you have the working relationship, you know, with the NWA too, with the women's championship being on Dynamite a lot, you can get her on both possibly.
So. Yeah. I wanna see.
I mean, you really want to see her in ring all like that?
Who, Mickey?
Yeah. I would. I think she can still go.
I think she's a step slower. Maybe two.
She kept doing this character like on Twitter for a while that WWE would never approve, and I can understand why.
The MILF.
She wanted to be the Monday Night MILF type thing, and you know, maybe that's something that she could do now, especially on AEW where it's a little bit more edgy.
Yeah, I'm fine with I think she'll be fine wherever she goes. Obviously, everybody wants Billy Kay and Peyton Royce to stick together.
I saw was that Billy Kay should go to AEW and go to each EVP and pass out her headshot and resume until she gets to Tony. Like, everybody just throw her off until she gets to Tony.
I was wondering if Peyton wanted to break up, or did the WWE wanted to break them up?
WWE broke them up.
It was WWE.
You sure? Okay.
And then you have Peyton, because so here's, and it, this will fall back. And explain it. So back when Heyman, so whenever all that happened, Heyman, I believe, was still on Raw. And he wanted to push her.
Push who?
Peyton. Just like he wanted to push Cedric and Ricochet and Aleister Black. Everybody that Heyman wanted to push, you don't see on TV.
No.
So take that for what you will. And you know, we all know who came in after Heyman. So again, take that as you will, but I mean, there's a lot of talent. I'm just happy that there's more options for talent now than there was if this would have happened 5 years ago.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. So there's options.
Yeah.
Impact's doing really good work. NWA does really good work. Ring of Honor, like I said, they're starting up a women's division. AEW, obviously.
So you there's know, they put a strap on them right away. So that's a boost.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's a lot of talent there. I would like to see Bo Dallas in the NWA.
That would be a good fit for him.
I think Bo on the microphone, which if you go to the NWA, you have to be able to talk because it's old school studio wrestling, and a lot of it is built up on talking.
Mm-hmm.
I think letting him have the mic and go on a microphone to reestablish himself is something that I could see him doing. I would love to see him and the Pope go at it as like a feud. So yeah, I'd like to see him go there. Joe, everybody's pegging Joe to go to AEW. The more tweeted out already, hey, the door's back open in Impact, buddy. Come on home.
But that's if Joe can still go. Who knows? Right.
If Joe can still go, I'd like to see him back in Ring of Honor.
Green and Kalisto were injury prone.
Joe broke his thumb, had surgery on his thumb and that, and then he got a concussion shooting that commercial right after he got cleared from the thumb. And after that, he wasn't cleared. It was a concussion thing. So, but if Joe can still go and Joe got one more run in him, I'd like to see Joe in Ring of Honor because of what they've done with the pure wrestling and bringing the wrestling back into Ring of Honor.
If he can't go and commentating is his future, where do you think he best fits in? Because I don't think AEW needs another commentator.
Oh, they have too many.
Yeah. But actually, just reshuffled theirs.
So AEW, I think one of AEW's problems, and I'm not going to say this is my idea because it's not. I heard it on with Mansoor and Madden, is that Shivani, Excalibur, and JR are all play-by-play guys. Mm. You have no true color guy. So if you're going to get a second show, and Elevation, yes, but that's a YouTube show. They're still supposed to be another hour on TNT. If Joe can't go, I wouldn't mind seeing Joe actually go and be a color guy. Like, you put Joe and Excalibur together, I think that duo would be fantastic.
Where's the other guy that used to do commentary early on?
What'd you say?
Where's the other guy that used to do commentary early on?
For who? AEW?
Yeah. Golden Boy?
Yeah.
Golden Boy? Yeah, he hasn't.
Obviously. He hasn't been around.
Yeah. Okay. I like
him.
Yeah, I do too.
I like Dark because of Taz and Excalibur. Mm-hmm. Them two work very well together.
That's kind of what Joe's commentary style reminds me of, is Taz's commentary style.
Right. So you could have, you know, Joe and Excalibur be.
I don't want Taz and Joe.
No. So I don't need Taz and Joe together. No.
No, you need that balance for Joe. Yeah.
So if you go Joe and Excalibur for the third hour, right? You have Shivani and Paul White on Elevation. You can have JR and whoever on Dynamite. And then you have a two-man booth across the board. But they won't do that because I think they're happy with Excalibur, JR, and Tony on Dynamite with the three of them.
I think Tony's there because of TNT. You know, just kind of put him back there, JR, because he's Jim fucking Ross, like they always say. And then there's Excalibur, I think, where they're trying to groom him to whenever they need to step away, that he'll be ready to go on his own.
I mean, Excalibur's ready to go as a color commentary guy, as is. But you put the right foil with him. Like I said, him and Taz doing Dark is good. I enjoy them too on Dark. Mm-hmm. They feed off of each other well. They have good banter back and forth. You know, It's just like Taz and, you know, it takes me back to Taz and Mike Tenay and TNA. Like, those two worked really well together.
Yeah.
But Taz is an on-screen talent on Dynamite. So, you know, he's not in a commentary role on Dynamite.
Yeah, it's just like we were talking about with, like, Jericho was talking on the Stone Cold podcast this week. You know, he doesn't know what he's going to do next, like, or after wrestling's done. And just like, dude, like, you kill it on commentary, whatever you do. I think that's his future if he would want to stay in AEW. I don't know if he really is. There's always been the rumor that it was him and JR that started the company before with Tony, before, you know, the Young Bucks and Cody and Kenny came on. So I don't know if he does have anything really invested, any money or anything in the company. So is this where he's going to be the rest of his career, or can he come and go just like he did in WWE? I don't know, but I wouldn't mind him being a lifer.
Yeah. What do you think? We'll see. You know, I think everybody will land somewhere. It'll just be, you know, is it where you think where you thought they were going to end up, and, you know, what type of impact do they make? No pun intended, with Impact. So, you know, sad day. Didn't want to see them go. Obviously, it's kind of turned into a thing where you can expect it from WWE after Mania. But yeah, it just for a week that I was expecting bigger things from, it was a letdown as far as comebacks, surprises, shakeups, storylines, and then, you know, you add the cuts into it.
Oh, maybe the no fans for the Fallout shows this week had something to do with the no surprises. You know, since they weren't going to get the reaction, maybe they decided to hold off. I don't know.
Oh, they could get whatever reaction they want because they could pump in fucking crowd.
Yeah, that Roman boo, whenever he came out tonight on SmackDown, that was loud as shit. So
excessive.
Yeah.
Oh, but all right. Anybody got any other thoughts here as we wrap up this WrestleMania fallout? A lot of fucking wrestling last week. Jesus. Mm-hmm. WWE putting on 9 straight days of content is just insane.
Amazing.
Yeah. Amazing.
Amazing.
But I would like to thank the wrestling gods for not putting the title on Edge so I could be on this podcast and talk about main roster. So thank you guys.
They saved you for another day. Not forever.
Anybody got any other thoughts before I throw out some plugs and then we wrap up tonight's Pod and After Dark episode?
Nope. Okay.
Everybody good? Shout out and thanks to everybody that tuned in for all the broadcasts over the last week. We appreciate y'all. We thank y'all for tuning in for the first ever Dumb Marks Podomania. As always, follow us on all our socials, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You can email the show at dumbmarkspod@gmail.com. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/dumbmarkspod. Buy our merch. Got the One Gotta Go shirt. We got the regular Dumb Marks logo shirt there. 20% off sale going on through tomorrow, I believe, 1 p.m. is the cutoff for that. If you do buy a shirt, we'll shout you out on the podcast. Again, thanks for all the support. Thanks for tuning in. And until tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern, you can catch us
around the way.
Buy our merch.